We wouldn't be able to keep this archive going without your support. Donate online today at WYXR.org.
I'm Kim Lloyd, and I'm a professional fan, and you're listening to WYXR 91.7 FM Memphis.
Hello, hello. Hello, I am Tom Lamb. I'm an intern here at WYXR 91.7 FM, and we are here today joined by some very special people. Why don't you introduce yourselves?
All right, thank you so much for having us. I'm Alice Berry from the University of Memphis Department of Theater and Dance.
Hi, I'm Newman Jones. I'm from the University of Memphis Department of Theater and Dance.
And I'm Patrick Polson, third verse, same as the first two.
And we're very excited to be here to talk about our current production, Into the Woods. Patrick is the director of that piece, and Newman did the costumes. And so we're excited to be talking about the process of creating that and how you can get your tickets and come see it this weekend. All right.
We're sharing a mic, y'all. Sorry. We got a lot of people in the room. I'm excited to have y'all, and they've been so nice to provide us with some music. So we're gonna kick things off with just a little bit of
Pretty Girls
Make the Graves. Those long band names. I always love a band with a long name. I just love it. It's a good sign to me.
Yeah.
All right. Let's. So you know what? Let's get straight into it, y'all.
Let's get straight into it.
Do you remember what the music meant? Do you remember what the music meant? Do you remember what the music meant?
does. He always comes out to get me out. He's coming to get me out. He's coming to get me out. He's coming to get me. He always comes.
So, you just heard some good tracks selected by the fine people at the University of Memphis Theater and Dance. So, let me just read them off for y'all real quick. Sorry, my laptop is all the way across the studio, so I have to slide across the desk. We got Speakers, Push the Air by Pretty Girls Make Graves. And then we had a little, this is going to be a long song title. The Mechanical Man vs. Robot from... I can't read the rest, but it's by... Schoolyard Heroes. It's so long. Even when I was adding into the playlist, I was like, it's called Speed. Okay. But yeah, Alice, I'm gonna give you the mic. You know, all right, pick it away.
I love it. I'm gonna say I was very curious. I had asked Patrick to go ahead and get us some music for this hour. And I had suggested perhaps since Sondheim wrote the music and lyrics for Into the Woods that maybe he just might pick a lot of other Sondheim, and that's certainly not what he did. So I'm wondering, Patrick, what was the inspiration behind your musical choices for today?
I am hot. This mic is hot. There's a lot of different reasons for a lot of the different tracks on here. I wanted to think kind of thematically outside the world of the show, as far as like musical tonal, but thematically still matching up, and as well as like personal experience with the show. So some of these tunes are from when I first encountered the show. It was like the music that I was listening to when I would walk to class in college, just ones that kind of hit me at high points in my life when I would like come back and revisit the show. That's kind of where the Pretty Girls Make Graves track came from, both a thematic presence of like we're learning, we're living in moments, but it was also something I was hearing when I was 18. And the Schoolyard Heroes track, thematically, I was like, this is a very strange connection to Little Red and the Wolf. I just liked it. And both, I'm from the Seattle, Washington area, and both of those bands are Seattle bands.
I love that.
Yeah.
And now that you brought it up, so what was your first interaction with Into the Woods?
I'm sure I heard it at some point doing community theater. My first major memory was one of my best friends in college sang Giants in the Sky for his musical theater voice class. And I was like, I don't know what this show is. And my dear friend Emily Usher, now Kroger, she has since been married. Our friend Brittany Menzies and our friend Lauren Pearsall were all like, what? And they drug me back to their dorm room, and they put on the Bernadette Peters version on a like 11-inch TV and played it. Call me old-fashioned, but that's when I got hooked.
I love that. So have you ever seen a live production of it?
I have seen live productions of it. I saw an in-concert version of it at the Hollywood Bowl when I lived in Los Angeles, California. My now wife, sent me a text saying, have you ever heard of this musical? I want to go to the Hollywood Bowl. And I just responded, yes, this is my favorite musical.
Awesome.
And then I saw the version that was done in Little Rock 2 years ago with Hillary Clinton as the giant.
I didn't know that existed.
It is. Yes.
And so how did you feel then when they first told you, when the season committee told you, hey, Patrick, this is what you're going to be doing for your final grad project?
I was nervous. I was excited. I think we'll talk about it a little bit later as to how we kind of arrived to it. But I was excited because I knew that I was going to get to collaborate with Newman Jones here, a very lauded costume designer. It felt like a very full circle moment for me as kind of a major musical that was I encountered at a defining point in my life, and then this is, you know, kind of closing this chapter of my life.
I love that.
Which is very much what the show is about.
Wonderful. So I would ask, how did you go about when you first found out, what was the first thing you went, how do I have to prepare? If I know that in a year from now, I'm going to be directing this piece, what kind of went, oh, this is what I need to be doing?
My advisor said, you need to take a class with Dr. Jacob Allen to learn how to direct musicals. And Jacob gave me a lot of tools to prep. And I had done primarily text-based work up until that point. Which is a lot of pretty traditional script analysis. What are these characters going through? What is the world of the play? When you stack music on top of that, you then have to encounter things like what is thematically happening in the music, not just with the characters' intentions, and how do we connect all of that together? And so my first task was a lot of housekeeping, of trying to figure out where the characters were in what scenes, which kind of started to reveal a little bit more of the shape of how to approach the show to me.
Wonderful.
All right. I'm glad, you know, it's very, so I have no experience in plays, I'm going to be honest, but hearing it's very interesting, all the script analysis and especially the music, you know.
Yeah.
I think that
I keep forgetting the name. I'm just absolutely terrible with names, but
the robot one, the robots versus the second song that we played, I could kind of hear a little influence of like the singing.
Yeah. I'm blanking on that particular performer's name, but she is a classically trained opera singer that just happened to start singing for hardcore bands. And as a weirdo from Seattle, that's the kind of music we listen to.
That's the kind of music we love to hear over at WYXR 91.7 FM. And we're going to keep it going with the Rake song by the Decemberists. And then we're going to have a couple more songs after that. And then we're going to hear some more of y'all interviewing. It's such a pleasure to have y'all. Again, WYXR 91.7 FM. Here we go.
Remember it clear, all right. I buried after feeding a foxglove. Dawn was easy, she was drowned in the bath. I say a fun, but was easily bested. Burned his body for incurring my wrath. Alright, alright, alright. And that's how I came, your humble narrator. To be living so easy and free. I expect that you think that I should be haunted, but it never really bothers me. Alright, alright, alright. Alright, alright, alright.
Let me turn all y'all up. All right, that great song selection, by the way. I'm really happy to hear just the variety of music. But yeah, I just want to pass it back to Alice.
All right. So, Patrick, I know you, when we last spoke,
yes.
You were saying that you took a class with Dr. Allen mm-hmm. to kind of prepare yourself for directing a big musical. Mm-hmm. I also know you spent the summer working at Ohio Light Opera.
Yes.
And I'm just wondering how that experience also helped prepare you for this project.
Yeah. Well, working at the Ohio Light Opera was kind of like graduate school and directing musicals all in itself.
Right.
Newman was there with me, actually.
Really?
I was the assistant director for all six shows there. They do six operettas / kind of classic musicals, musicals that aren't traditionally done, and they go back and they do them as close to, like, original performance text as possible, updating, you know, some various things as needed, but generally, the music is as it would have been presented in 1925 or 1837, whatever it might be. And so working there, I worked with three really lovely directors, Dr. Allen, Dr. Reese, Spencer Reese, also a doctor, and Steve Daigle, who's the artistic director there. And they all three had a variety of styles in approaching, all really, really talented directors. And so getting to observe them, I was able to kind of take the bits that really stuck with me on how to work with actors and work with this particular performance modality and begin to apply it to my own practice.
Wonderful. And Newman, what was your experience there?
I had a lovely experience. It was my second summer there. My first time there, I was an undergrad. It was one of my first paid theater gigs, mm-hmm. so it was nice to go back in a more leadership role. I designed and I worked backstage. I did both in tandem. And like Patrick said, it was lovely working with a variety of different people who worked in different ways, different styles. And I loved it. Obviously, working with Jacob is always great. I got to put costumes on Jacob, which was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was a great
experience.
So
you also got to see Jacob perform.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
And what were if you did six different shows, what was your favorite one?
It was the one I designed.
Yeah.
I loved HMS Pinafore was the one I designed. It was my favorite.
Yeah. Okay. I think I really grew to love No No Nanette. We did. Mm-hmm. It's a very sweet show from 1925. It's where the song Tea for Two comes from. I really just grew to enjoy that show. But also we did How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. And that show, so my background prior to graduate school is in comedy. And so it really felt, that one felt the most comfortable. It felt like putting on the most familiar sweater of all of them. Because it was pretty comedically driven, and so I got to kind of really bring all of my interests together, this burgeoning interest in lyric theater, my overall interest in performance, and then my background in comedy.
Wonderful. Was Marvin there as well?
Marvin was there, yeah. So one of our cast members in Into the Woods, who plays Cinderella's Prince and the Wolf, was there as well as one of the ensemble members.
What an amazing talent.
Yeah.
We're so fortunate to have him in our program.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so tell everyone just a little bit about how you got that gig.
Yeah. So it was really just, it was this class I was taking with Jacob, Dr. Allen, and I just really enjoyed working with him, and I honestly just said, hey, I am enjoying this class. And I would love to continue. And so he said, yes, we can find some. They found space for me, which was really great. And so, yeah, I mean, call me old fashioned, but I just miss like kind of the apprenticeship aspects of theater. You know, I love that we have this educational program. But for so long, this art form survived in like learning from senior artists and continuing on those traditions, which is very much what is happening in our program too, which is great because we do get this opportunity to go and do internships. But it just really felt like, you know, kind of that old school apprentice program, and I'm getting to go back this summer and work with all three of them again.
That's amazing.
As directors, yeah.
I mean, that's also about networking. I think it's one of the wonderful things that there's so many wonderful things I love about our program, but that idea that everyone has to do an internship, mm-hmm. and also that the department doesn't just hang our students out to dry, that we actually help get mm-hmm. get those jobs yeah. for our students, both grads and undergrads.
Yep.
And one of the really nice things is Dr. Allen's relationship with Ohio Light Opera.
Yes.
I know that every summer he usually is taking students with
yeah.
him.
Yeah.
And students have an amazing experience
yeah.
doing that, as well as other jobs that they get during the summer,
yeah.
whether it's at SETC or wherever that is, and the department supporting them going to those auditions as
yeah.
well.
It's just an extension of the collaboration we have in our department, because... Newman and I were obviously in the cohort together. We have been in classes together, and we've been working together since basically our first semester. And last year, Newman was the costume designer for my second year project. And we also have a lot of actors coming back from that project too, which is really great. So having kind of this continued collaboration process through our 3 years here is really, really awesome, which was one of the reasons I was also really excited I was getting to do the musical, because I knew that Newman was wanting to do a musical for his practicum as well.
Well, since you're going in that direction, let's go ahead and just say, mentioned earlier we'd get into how Into the Woods was a title that ended up in our season. Mm-hmm. Can we get into that and tell us a little bit of how that happened?
Yeah, I mean... The way our it works is we pitch titles to our advising committees, which then kind of go to the larger faculty grouping, the faculty at large. That's the phrasing I'm looking for, the complicated academic phrasing. I had reached out to our voice teacher and said, you know, my goal for my practicum is to do something I've never done before. And so I want to include a musical as one of the shows I pitch. And she gave me some suggestions. She responded to my suggestions that I had made. And I had actually not put Into the Woods as my initial pitch, partially because I have such an emotional connection to it. I had a different Sondheim showdown. But it just kind of kept coming up in conversation, and I said, yeah, you know, I have this emotional connection to it, which is one of the reasons I was nervous about putting it down. And when Newman and I kind of both realized we were going to end up doing the musical, not end up, we were both going to get to do the musical, we started to kind of scheme and present titles to everyone that we thought, yeah.
So that your lists were matching, is
yeah,
what you're saying?
Yeah. I think we even just... straight up CC'd each other on the emails.
I mean, I think we were looking for similar things.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So it made it easy to make a joint list together, because
yeah.
we were looking for about the same thing.
Yeah. Newman has a really, really distinct visual aesthetic that I really like, and is a very talented drag performer in his own right.
I love it.
And so I knew getting to play in that world with Newman was going to be a lot of fun.
Well, and Newman, you said that you both had certain things you had on your list. What kind of things are you talking about when you say that?
So I was looking for something to help round out my portfolio. So I have, you know, like some realistic work with contemporary costumes. I have some surrealist work, dance. And I was really looking for something high fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
And Into the Woods is a really high fantasy musical that involves a lot of world building. So when Patrick mentioned to me that was one on his list, I was like, that would complete help round out my portfolio a little bit better. So when he said that one, I quickly got on board with Into the Woods.
Wonderful.
Yeah. All right. Although that was awesome, guys. And we're going to keep it on with the music. We got The Sound of Settling by Death Cab for Cutie. And we got a personal favorite of mine, Colossus by Idols. Just an amazing band, amazing music selection. We're keeping the music and the arts alive here at WYXR 91.7. We'll be back shortly.
Can't announce that my tongue is tied off. My brain's repeating. If he's got an impulse, let it out.
twisting my stomach into knots.
Shins for
right, all right. We just got some good song. We got Sound for Settling by Death Cab for Cutie, and then we got Colossus by Idols here on 91.7 WYXR.
Yeah, shout out to another Seattle band, Death Cab for Cutie. Also, lead singer went to my high school.
Well, there you go. I'm learning so much about Patrick just by his musical choices. I'm loving it. And we've sat in the same office for 3 years now, but we don't get to listen to music in there. So I'm loving the choices that you made. I do want to mention that Into the Woods is running at the University of Memphis Department of Theater and Dance this weekend, tonight, Friday, and Saturday. All performances are at 7:30. Tickets are super easy to come by. You can just go to the University of Memphis, memphis.edu/theater, and follow the purchase ticket prompts. University of Memphis students do get a complimentary ticket to this production. To get that ticket, you just simply enter your UID number in the coupon code, including the U, and it'll give you that complimentary ticket. I also want to mention, before we continue talking about the collaboration that put this piece on stage, the fact that we have an American Sign Language interpreted performance that's tomorrow night at 7:30. And again, you can get those tickets at memphis.edu/theater. All right.
For best visibility on the ASL performance, House Left is going to be your best choice in seating.
Awesome, House Left. And so that would be the higher numbers if you're picking your seats, the higher numbered seats. I would say 13 to 24, 26 would be the best seats for that and to watch that. And now you started talking before we were listening to that great music about the collaboration and how important that is. One, it's like the basis of theater is collaboration. That's what makes it such a wonderful art form for me and for everyone, I think, who does it. And it's something that's important to all the shows that we do at the U of M. But let's talk about your collaboration with your team.
Yeah, I mean, this was a really fun experience as far as collaboration. I mean, all experiences with collaboration are fun. But this one in particular was special to me because the entire team was graduate students. So I was getting to work with my peers, people that I share an office with, people I live with, people I go to dinner with frequently. And so getting to have that level of camaraderie in the design meetings was really, really fun. I looked forward every week to our meetings. I laughed a lot in the meetings. I tried to make other people laugh. It was mostly groans. it was just a really great experience because we had Newman Jones, obviously, on costumes, Chris Hannion on lights, Claire Kelly on scenery, and Rowan Sullivan on sound.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And so, Patrick, as the director, when you first go into those conversations with your team, what was something that you said was really important to you in beginning those conversations?
A big part of this show is family, and I really just wanted to explore how family was interpreted and affected throughout the whole show. Not to give anything away, but a new family is formed at the end of it, and so it was getting to that point was really important. That's something I think Newman and I talk about a lot when we collaborate, is how our characters connected. And or disconnected in different ways. So, and Newman always has a great visual language for me to do that.
Well, it's because Patrick is a great collaborator. Mm-hmm. Patrick gives the right words. He says the right things. He knows how to communicate with his designers. He knows how to give proper feedback, which is always important. So Patrick made the process a lot easier for me to give him those visual cues because he said the right things and knew how to communicate with his designers.
Yeah. Awesome. So I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit and say, for people that don't know what that means, what does that mean? He knew how to speak to you. He knew what to ask for.
Well, I think,
can you be specific even about a certain moment in the show that he really expressed to you?
Day one, he walked in with incredible images of these like storybooks. And from the moment we started, I was able to see what he wanted to achieve visually and aesthetically based off of the images that he showed. And I was able to incorporate his stuff into my work in order to make it seem more connected and well-rounded. I was able to take from him, add it into my work, show him things that were inspired by what he showed, and it just made it incredibly easy. Just going in day one, showing beautiful images that I was able to connect with as well.
Awesome. And I should say, I mean, we're talking about Into the Woods as if everyone who's listening knows what that is. We've not really given a little synopsis, as you said, not to give it away, but could you just tell us a little bit and about the story of Into the Woods?
Yeah, I mean, the broad strokes of it is it's your favorite fairy tale characters being kind of put together on stage. A lot of the Grimm's interpretations, or Grimm's recordings, not interpretations, of these tales. So you have Little Red Riding Hood, Jack and the Beanstalk, Rapunzel, Cinderella, and... am I blanking on any? Nope, those are it. And then you have these characters, the baker and the baker's wife, who very much function as a little bit as audience surrogates as they come into it. And there's a sense, I listened to an interview with James Lapine, who said he always viewed them as kind of the New Yorkers being dropped into this world. And while we didn't necessarily pivot super hard into that direction, we definitely looked at them as kind of their own unit outside of, and they are definitely still inspired by a number of the fairy tale characters that also exist, a little bit of an amalgamation of kind of the everyman characters from those stories. And so you have them kind of as their through line trying to get a child. So they need to collect various items that pop up in all of these different stories. And then you have a witch who has purposes of her own, and she is navigating this world as well in her own way. So that is what I will say. And, you know, wishes come true, not free, is a big thing in this show. So there is a second act.
Okay.
where things happen, things change, the world changes.
Thank y'all so much for just coming out. Patrick, Newman, Alice, it just means a lot for the station. You know, I'm going to speak on behalf of the station, but... But thank y'all all for coming out. Do y'all want to plug anything? I mean, I know y'all have Into the Woods, but any other little projects? You know, plug more Into the Woods before we wrap it up?
Yeah, sure. I was thinking, boy, I didn't realize our time had flown by so quickly. I was thinking we had a whole nother little segment.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? Well, I'm trying to remember that. I'll go over again how easy it is to get tickets. It's just at memphis.edu/theater. Follow the purchase ticket prompt at the top navigate bar. Any other things you want to say about the show?
It's a beautiful show. I really hope Memphis comes out and sees it.
I know that Sondheim is, like, people say, the most difficult music. Like, I would think it's kind of terrifying to delve into that, right? Just because the music itself is certainly beautiful,
yes,
but very difficult.
It is difficult, but he makes it very easy to know exactly what people want at any given time. So as a director, you're kind of like, oh, yeah, he just kind of lays it out for you. And as far as staging it goes, everything is, you know, kind of timed perfectly. I had this moment where I looked at the music director and I said, is there enough time? And he said, yeah, we've just been skipping over this bit because we don't really need it. I was like, oh, so I have 8 more bars here. He's like, yeah. I was like, that's like 45 more seconds. That's so much more time to stage this thing. So this show was as difficult as it was to stage, there was a lot of things that made it very easy.
Well, let's talk about our students for a minute approaching that kind of work.
Yeah.
You know, because we do have the musical theater program,
mm-hmm,
where those students are coming to our program to learn the basis of musical theater and to become triple threats, learning dance, music, acting, singing, all of it together.
Quadruple threats. They also learn design tech.
Oh, and design tech. That's correct. But did you have any wonderful surprises either in the auditions or in the rehearsal process working with our students on this material?
I mean, rehearsal process rehearsal process with our students is always such an enjoyable experience. I think like I said, I did comedy for the last 10 years before coming to grad school, and the rehearsal rooms at the University of Memphis are still some of the places I've laughed the hardest in my life. And call me old-fashioned, but that's really what you're like wanting out of a rehearsal room is just laughter and joy.
Right. Well, you also bring that to my office, which I greatly appreciate. I don't ever groan. I always laugh when you say something, so I don't know what they were thinking.
I groan.
Newman groan.
I mean, and I look at our talent when you were talking about The Witch and your casting choice there.
Yeah.
What a wonderful talent as well. So
yeah.
I think people will come out and be really... enjoy the show. The voices are beautiful. And also, you mentioned your musical director. Could you tell us a little bit about our musical director of this piece?
Yes, Nathan Thomas, our new head of musical theater.
Woo!
was our music director. He was a wonderful collaborator. I have worked with his wife, Tracy, since my first year in a couple of different capacities as she advised me on some projects. And so getting to work with both of them in my time here was a true joy and a true treasure. So yeah.
Wonderful. All right, Newman, you got any things you want to throw out? Last words, maybe?
Come see Into the Woods.
Yes.
You'll love it.
Come see Into the Woods at the University of Memphis. That is tonight, Friday, and Saturday of this weekend.
7:30.
The 7:30 performances. And we're excited to get your tickets at memphis.edu/theater. Thank you so much for having us here today.
Of course. Guys, y'all did a great job. I mean, I don't know if y'all do rounds of applauses, but I'm going to give y'all a round of applause. Let's give it for yourself. That was awesome.
Everyone is clapping for us. They brought people in from crosstown to clap for us.
We've been getting people to come into the studio air room and just give a round of applauses.
Yeah. Unpaid, though. I love their hearts. All right, so then now
we got Ted Leo and the Pharmacist, and then we got some Wilco, and yeah, let's keep the ball rolling here on WYXR.
Time.
life was to be an echo. Riding alone, town after town, toll after toll. A dick's paying out through the great southwest to forget her. She appears in his dreams, but in his car and in his arms, a dream could mean anything. A cheap sunset on a television set could upset her. His goal in life was to be an echo. The type of sound that floats around and then back down like a feather. But in the deep chrome canyons of the loudest Manhattans, no one could hear him or anything. So he slept on a mountain. Thank you.